Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Will Stevenson.
Good morning. This is our second hour of Galesburg Live on this Saturday morning at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Glad to be with you this week. It's been a busy month or so. I've filled in a couple of times here on Galesburg Live as we've covered COVID-19 perhaps extensively and some other issues along that as well. And we're continuing that this morning in large part, as we did in my last hour with the organizers of the Out of the Darkness Walk, which brings awareness to suicides and suicide prevention, and some great tips from them on handling the mental health aspect of all this, because it certainly has been probably one of the bigger not talked about concerns with all of this. So we'll have that conversation up in about an hour on WGIL.com, as we will the conversation I'm about to have talking about how the city has dealt with this, among some other things, with Galesburg Mayor John Pritchard. John, thanks for coming in this morning.
Good morning, Will. It's good to be here.
Glad to have you. John, of course, runs this place, and I invited John to come in, not the other way around. I like to say that because sometimes people think that maybe it is the other way around, but it's not, I promise you. But man, John, what a long, strange trip this last 5 or 6 weeks has been, hasn't it?
Yes, it's certainly something that none of us anticipated. It's changed everyone's life in some degree, some to a great extent, some to a minor extent. But the way we do things, obviously, here at the radio station has changed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way we operate, we don't see many of our people around at any given time, and we're practicing the things we need to do to prevent the spread of the virus.
There is more or less about 6 feet between me and John right now, so lest anybody is concerned about that. So there you go. But, right. That's something that we kind of talked a little bit about, I think, in the last hour. I think the fact that some of us perhaps are still having to come to our places of business to do work while other people get to work from home, I imagine both aspects of that have got to be, I would imagine, from as both a, you know, just a resident, John, and as mayor, that's got to be a little bit concerning. I mean, as we talked about with the mental health aspect of this, this can be kind of a bummer sometimes.
Term. We talk a lot about social distancing, and I prefer to use the phrase physical distancing. Because socially, I want people to be talking to each other, to be communicating. You know, we ought to be making sure our neighbors and friends and family are in good shape, and we can do a lot of those things. We just have to keep that six foot distance and practice washing our hands and those basic things. You know, when this got started, 6 weeks ago, we were all concerned about our health system being swamped with people that were in dire need of intensive medical care from the virus.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, in certain parts of the country, it's come close, but certainly here we have held down the wave, and we've protected our medical people and our first responders. And so to that degree, we've been very successful in what we first set out to accomplish.
Yeah, that said, that's a very good thing, and we probably can't talk about that sort of thing enough. But on the other hand, with having two hospitals here in Galesburg, both of those have had to kind of perhaps, you know, either lay off or furlough some people, and the current parent company of Cottage Hospital filed bankruptcy, although the hospital is in the process of being sold now, we know. OSF has had to put some furloughs together and put those in place. I wonder, it's got to be difficult to kind of balance, you know, the need of protecting the public and providing health care versus, you know, the other end of this, which I'm not sure we necessarily anticipated through some of this.
Well, I think the governor's original order, and it's similar to the orders all across the country,
mm-hmm.
you know, prohibited, voluntary kind of procedures and so forth. And what this did is, of course, you know, cut off most of the revenue stream to our hospitals and other medical related businesses. And so the cost to fight this virus has been very, very high. I understand the new order that'll be finalized shortly that goes into effect May 1st in Illinois will allow for some voluntary procedures to resume, and mm-hmm. I would presume that in a couple of weeks our medical community will be able to gear up to serve those people. You know, there are people out there that haven't been able excuse me, that need medical treatment for things that haven't been able to get it because they haven't been deemed essential. And so you know, the cost we've paid economically, not only in the medical community, but everywhere else has been just incredibly high.
I want to take a break for a moment, and when we come back, I want to get more of your perspective on that, especially in part the business aspect of this before I also ask about city operations and how the city responded and that type of thing. We're talking with Galesburg Mayor John Pritchard on Galesburg Live. We'll be back in a moment to continue our discussion on WGIL. This is Galesburg Live on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining me this morning in this second hour of our program. Galesburg Mayor John Pritchard is joining me this morning. We touched a little bit on sort of maybe the financial aspect of this or the business aspect of this, especially impacting the hospitals. You've been in business running the radio stations here for a long time, and before that you were a publisher of the newspaper, and you've also been in banking in the course of your career, John. From a business perspective, how bad, I guess, is this situation for the business community?
Well, I think what I'd like to observe is a lot of businesses, you know, obviously the restaurants and bars were mm-hmm. immediately shut down. A lot of the retail businesses were shut down by the governor's order. We've seen a lot of creative ways for some of these businesses to stay. You know, you've got curbside, you've got delivery of food available from a number of businesses. So I think our community's been hit pretty hard, but you know, it's not how hard you get hit, it's how you stand back up. And I think a lot of people are, you know, working hard to stay in business, and they're doing innovative things. Businesses are operating differently,
yeah,
as are we here.
From tragedy comes opportunity. It kind of sounds like it's been kind of the mantra here.
Well, I'd rather skip the tragedy part.
That is kind of, I think, one of the big positives is that, I guess, depending on how you look at it, that maybe businesses have had to look at doing things differently. And I don't know that, you know, some of this is maybe maintainable long term, especially like with we've seen with some of the businesses and especially the restaurants. But I imagine as a business owner, you sit down and you kind of have to think, you know, how am I going to do all this once this ends?
I'm sure that's the case in every single business in the United States at this point, probably around the world. I'm confident though that you know, we had such a strong economy going that we'll move past. When we move past this, we'll be in great shape again. But in the meantime, there is suffering. There are people out of work. There are a lot of people who are going to work. There are a lot of, you know, I consider, you know, the clerks at the Walmarts and the Hy-Vees and the Hy-Lows of the world to be the real heroes here. They're as much on the front lines as ambulance drivers or police officers or firefighters. You know, these as well as our medical personnel. I mean, you know, this is a battle that has no front line. It's everywhere. Everyone has to be cautious. Everyone needs to, you know, practice that social distancing and washing hands, and that's really the key to getting by this. So, you know, we have an idea of what the governor's next order is, which is going to open up certain things, golf courses, for instance, allow curbside delivery for more different retailers. So I think that's going to be a real step forward for certain businesses to get back on sturdier feet.
I want to get to some of that and get your thoughts on that in a minute. But that kind of leads me to the next part of my question, though, just talking about those workers who have been sort of on the front lines and things like that. Take me back to when you first, as mayor, became concerned about this, or at least maybe toward the beginning of March, perhaps, when the concern nationally started to get greater about COVID-19. And I should actually maybe even go farther back than that. You had talked to family members who had been concerned about this long before March, right?
Yeah, we. My daughter, who lives in Hong Kong, has lived there for almost 3 years now. Happened to join us in late January, and she'd come directly from Hong Kong. And during that week we were together. Also, was the week that the president was undergoing his impeachment process,
right.
And more importantly, it's when he introduced the travel ban. And my daughter, having been in Hong Kong and in the China area, you know, had explained to me at that time about the Hunan virus and about the fact that it was the Chinese New Year, which is the week that we were together,
mm-hmm.
and that the government all of a sudden banned travel among around the country. And the Chinese New Year celebration is kind of like our Christmas and Thanksgiving put together.
Right.
You know, millions of people travel to return to their families, and that was kind of the lockdown. So I was kind of it was kind of on the radar then, but I think when the president issued the the travel ban from mainland China, it kind of was on our flag. And when I got back, I didn't get back until about the 11th of February.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we talked to the city, and I think we had some discussions, and that led to the health department calling the first meeting and then standing up of the unified command operation. So we were maybe a little bit ahead of the rest of the state in thinking about this. And but thank God we've had the unified command in place. They've done a great job. They have, you know, this is an organizational structure that has been we didn't invent this for this event. It's mm-hmm. been in place for years. They've done practices. I remember under Chief Simpkins, we did a Bergnado exercise, you know, and people have stepped into place, and it's worked well. I got to say, though, as different curveballs have hit us over these few weeks, we've seen the non-for-profit organizations step up to fill gaps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the children were not returned to school, there was the issue about the number of kids that receive free and reduced lunch and how we're going to take care of those. You saw the Community Foundation step up, the YMCA, the United Way, the Vitale Family Foundation, and the Dr. McLean Foundation stepped up with resources. So, you know, what you've seen is every problem has developed citizens. Without order, just because they're good citizens, have stepped up and taken roles to solve problems as we work our way through this.
And this was all more or less starting to happen before the city or the Unified Command even came out and said a whole lot about this. Case in point, the United Way kind of organizing the lunch distribution, for
right.
instance.
Right, yeah. As we dealt with, yeah, I think we've... I think all these groups and their leaders have done a great job in keeping us on top of the problems instead of lagging behind.
When you were first starting to hear back in February with your daughter and things like that, what as mayor, what was going through your mind at that time? Was it sort of a holy you know what kind of a moment, or what was there maybe more pragmatic, calm sort of thinking maybe?
Well, you know, it was kind of, you know, you got to remember that the Hong Kong Chinese has been in a political battle with the mainland Chinese
yeah.
for a year or two. And so I really took me a little while to move from that focus on to the fact that we had a new pandemic disease on the loose. So, you know, I really, you know, it's not like I talked to her and then I, you know, picked up the phone and started, you know, making calls, but it probably made it come into focus. You know, when the president took the action of banning travel, you know, of course we heard all the rhetoric, you know, that he was, it was racist and everything else. I, you know, one of the things I find humorous is that in China, they call the virus, the Hunan virus,
the Wuhan,
you know, so even there today, that's how it's referred to in their media. You know, so I was kind of observing, you know, so we had the, we had the impeachment going on, which was a big distraction. And in spite of that, this pandemic problem kind of emerged. But I probably didn't take into appreciation as how fast this could spread across the world.
Yeah, I think science has a funny way of showing its colors in situations like this, doesn't it?
Yep.
All right. On that note, I'll take another break here, and we'll talk more about the city response and how you feel the governor has done with all this and things like that, and whether or not you've even had a chance to talk to the governor, among others. Mayor John Pritchard joins us on Galesburg Live. We'll break for WGIL news headlines, and then we'll come back with more of our conversation in just a moment on WGIL. Good morning.
Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Will Stevenson.
Thanks for joining us on Galesburg Live on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Galesburg's Evening News is my normal gig weeknights from 5 to 6 p.m. And I was just counting it up the other day, and I'm not just saying this because the guy who signs my paycheck is sitting in front of me, but I think in the last 6 weeks I've done upwards of 30 different interviews about this subject of COVID-19. And while I'm very pleased to have tried to disseminate as much information as I can, the one person I haven't talked to for those 30-some interviews is Mayor John Pritchard, and he again joins me here this morning. Thanks again for doing this.
Glad to be here.
And by the way, again, that was 30 plus interviews I've done,
John. I got it.
I just want to note that for the record.
I'm making a note of that right now. I'm writing that down. Yeah.
It's really just to make myself feel better at this point, but that's another. Anyway, we talked a little bit about the in the break, you praised the Unified Command for standing up and its response and sort of the meetings that have happened here in the last 6+ weeks, I guess, since this really became a problem. Talk to me a little bit more about your thoughts on how some of that has operated. I've heard a lot of praise for the Unified Command. I think that there's maybe some members of the public that want more information than, quite honestly, the Unified Command can give them because of federal health privacy laws. This has got to be a really, as much as you plan for and organize for something like this, this has still got to be a difficult thing to try and address nonetheless.
Yeah, obviously, because of the job we do, we're probably more concerned about getting the information to the public.
Yeah.
But they've been responsible. They've obeyed the law and they follow good guidelines. My concern as mayor, of course, is to make sure that our first responders, whether they're police, fire, or ambulance, you know, have as much information as possible so they can be as safe as possible in dealing with situations with the public. So that's probably been an area where I've been concerned. But, they're doing their job and they're doing it pretty well. As I look over as we've developed capacity and developed resources to deal with is probably, the area of concern I have is that, I don't think we don't have enough test kits available. Apparently, I'm just reading between the lines, but, there's probably a little bit more testing that ought to be done with people that have come in contact with COVID-19 positive people. But that's a matter, but on the national level, of course, we're hearing about that every night, 4.5 million tests done and so forth. We've done 272 tests as of yesterday at noon, according to the dashboard.
The Unified Command, yeah.
Unified Command dashboard. I think it's probably a little higher than that by now, but, so there's probably, as a mayor, I'm thinking, we probably need to have a little bit more testing capacity than we have and so forth. But again, I think it's very fortunate that we've had the limited number of positive tests. And, that's again, it's not because the governor or the president issued an order. It's because the people, the public got the message and have practiced social distancing, practiced, washing their hands and just practice, just started safe practices to prevent the spread. And that has to continue.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of testing, though, I almost wonder, maybe along the same lines of we made sure that we had all this hospital capacity available, and seems like we may never actually need it. Will we ever actually get, do you think, the amount of tests that we really think we need, or are we going to continue to be behind the curve here?
Well, you know, I don't believe that we need to test everybody in the country. We could test, we could do 300 million tests today. And what does that do for us? Because the virus is still out and moving about. I could test today and be negative, and then next week I could test and be positive. Yeah. I think it's just a matter of testing around the people that have tested positive, you know, just to make sure that we're controlling it. Obviously, I think in the bigger, longer range, the antibody testing, you know, that'll come on later this year to determine if the disease really has moved through the population to a much greater degree than we suspect.
That said, though, I imagine you can probably feel a certain amount of sympathy for some people who would feel comfortable if they were, if they could get a test, if they wanted a test, though.
Yeah, I think obviously in other states, if you want a test, you can go get a test. We just don't have that capacity in our area now. I understand there's more capacity being built
right
here and there. So I expect that we'll have the kind of testing capacity that I'll feel comfortable about, you know, very shortly in the next, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. And again, I'm not coming from the standpoint that everybody needs to be tested, but, you know, let's say I tested positive. Well, you know what? I think you better get a test because I'm sitting here in the same room with you. So it's a matter of, you know, we're close, we're getting there, but we're not quite there yet from my standpoint.
Did it concern you as mayor when here in Knox County we learned that the first confirmed case of COVID-19 was in a resident at a place like the Galesburg Rescue Mission? And along those same lines, as we've seen more cases come up at Hill Correctional Center here, is that a concern of yours too?
Well, any positive test is a concern. I don't think it's, the first test happened to be at a rescue mission. I don't think it would have made any much difference. I mean, the point is the virus was officially here in Galesburg, and we needed to just up our game on taking precautions. The issue at the prison, you know, we know that prisoners get, you know, they get moved into prison, they get moved around from prisons. And so, even though they're under isolation, so to speak, they're not isolated.
Yeah.
And, so that's no particular surprise. And of course, you know, my biggest concern has been, of course, Smithfield plant in Monmouth.
I was just going to ask you about that. And as we are recording this conversation, in the interest of disclosure, on Friday afternoon, and it's just breaking at this point that Smithfield next week will close the Monmouth plant indefinitely as the number of cases in Warren County has shot up. And it's believed, although again, we can't say for sure, but it's believed a lot of those cases are in some form or fashion tied to Smithfield. With such a large employer here, I can't imagine what can be going through your mind right now.
Well, you know, I know that a lot of residents in Galesburg work at that plant. And I understand from the first three positive tests over in Warren County, they announced that they said that we have three results in Warren County. And then they proceeded to say two of the people lived in Rock Island County and one in Warren County. So, apparently if you get tested over there as part of your work, and you pass positive, you get attributed to their number. So,
which wasn't exactly how I thought it worked at first, well, but, it is what it is.
It is what it is. What it probably means is that we may have a few more people in Knox County who have tested positive, but just because they were tested at work in the Smithfield plant. So it doesn't change the game for the rest of us. You know, safe practices is the key. Social distancing, you know, washing your hands, those are winning this fight. And obviously businesses that have learned to operate in a different fashion to be able to maintain those two practices. So, it doesn't matter, you know, and so, of course the, Department of Corrections kind of is a institution on its own. So they handle things differently. So even though I understand that maybe one of the tests out there is a is a guard or a staff person and the rest are prisoners, it doesn't really change things. So we just have to, continue on. I think, you know, what we'll hopefully see is we'll start to see a decline in the number of new cases over time. And, you know, we'll hopefully make sure that that our medical, you know, with the new governor's order coming out, allowing more medical, procedures to return, you know, we got to make sure that we have the capacity in our hospitals to take care of any COVID patients that might develop later and have the personal protective equipment for our medical professionals and our first responders so that they can continue to operate in a protected way. And from the city standpoint, of course, you know, we're a major employer as well.
Right.
We're doing things differently. We've got a lot of people working from home. We've got, you know, we're taking special precautions to try and keep all of our workforce safe.
Do you hear from constituents at all, as much as maybe we hear from listeners sometimes at the radio station, that will say things like, "Oh, I really don't want to wear a mask," or "Why do I need to practice social distancing," or things like that? Do you ever hear from constituents that say things like that, and how do you kind of assuage them? I guess.
Well, you know, what I generally hear is, you know, such and such a business is open, I can't believe it, or this or that. People are kind of moved from the stage of, you know, why is this business operating and that one not operating and so forth. You know, why can't I be on my golf course? Why, you know, I hear some of that, but I think, you know, we deal with a few, you know, when I took this office of mayor, I think I took an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States, and that includes the Bill of Rights. So I don't get overly excited about trying to tell people what to do. I'm asking people what, you know, that, you know, social distancing, please observe it. It'll save lives, maybe your own, certainly others. And we just, you know, we run across, you know, young people that, you know, want to just be young people.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just, we'll try and gently nudge them to try and follow the guidelines.
Speaking of upholding the Constitution, I know one of the first things that was done early on was you were granted some emergency type of powers akin to some of the executive order type stuff the governor has done. I know that's not something that you necessarily relish having in your back pocket, but on the other hand, it's there in case a dire emergency arises.
Yeah, that's my attitude. Is it's great to have it in your back pocket, and you hope you don't need it.
Yeah,
don't need to employ it. Yeah,
a couple of the things though you have done have gone along the same lines of helping some of the businesses, especially the restaurants and the restaurant/bars operate, like allowing for the curbside pickup and maybe some extended selling of packaged beverages and things like that.
Yeah, we did take one position that if you were a sit down restaurant and you formally had a liquor license to serve beer, you know, beer, wine or whatever, you probably weren't allowed to sell packaged liquor. Well, we're now permitting that during this time. So, if I go and order pick up from food at a sit down restaurant, I can also order an alcoholic beverage. I think it's probably been a little bit of a help to a few places, but
yeah,
pretty minor.
Yeah,
in the big picture.
Real quickly, is that the main? That's one of the main things that you've done so far with that power. Are there other things for
that's
folks
it.
Who don't know?
That's it.
Okay. On that note, we'll take another break. Mayor John Pritchard is my guest here on Galesburg Live. We'll come back and I'll ask him to evaluate how the governor has responded to this next as Galesburg Live continues on WGIL. This is Galesburg Live on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Our final few minutes together this morning, and that's continuing to be spent this hour with Galesburg Mayor and radio station owner John Pritchard. John, I've for a while we were airing the governor's daily press briefings here on WGIL, and then we kind of went away from that as they became more of a "Hey, come and see how good I look" type moment, responding to some of this. But talk about from your perspective where you think the state has kind of gone right and gone wrong by this, especially perhaps as it relates to this new executive order that will take effect next Friday. The one thing I keep hearing from other people, and maybe there is some truth to it, that, you know, my dog groomer can be open, but my barber can't, for instance.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. There was a lot of that going on presently.
Yeah.
I would say that, you know, I was a little bit disappointed at the political, you know, backbiting going on between the president and the governor, mm-hmm. and so forth. And, you know,
I don't think either side really helped themselves in that matter.
Well, you know, they didn't help themselves and they weren't helping us.
Yeah.
You know, they were, you know, the focus needed to be on doing the things necessary to stop the pandemic and at the same time minimize the damage to our economy. So, you know, I haven't seen the details of the revised order that the governor's putting out. I have some of it, but I think generally those things are some of the things he's opening up make sense. You know, I always view everything from the prism of, you know, can we maintain the social distancing and the cleanliness kind of aspects to this? You know, I don't understand why I can't go into Slumberland and buy a couch if I want.
But you can go into Walmart and buy a couch.
But I can go into Walmart and buy a couch.
Yeah.
I can't go into Carnival shoe stores and buy shoes, but now I can go into Hy-Vee and buy shoes. I saw a display there last night.
I have too, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, so I think there's probably some more of that and it needs to be done, some more opening up of some of those things that just make sense. I've never been in a furniture store where I couldn't practice social distancing. You know, I've never been in, it's not like a mosh pit in a furniture store. And some of the other retailers, like, you know, car dealerships and clothing stores and so forth. There are issues. But I think, you know, opening up things carefully is the right thing to do. The medical thing, of course, we're waiting to hear the details of that. He announced he was going to do that yesterday, but the details have yet to follow so forth.
We should say the Illinois Department of Public Health is expected at some point to put out guidance on what non-elective medical work or what elective medical work can be done versus the non-elective.
Right. And I think the other thing people have to know is, you know, our hospitals and maybe other people can't pivot, you know, on May 1st to, you know, there's issues about sanitation and, you know, and virus control and so forth. So, you know, so even though this order may take effect May 1st, it may be a couple of weeks before certain things can resume in the medical sector. So I think it's all a good step forward. But I think as citizens, what we need to remember is again to be repetitive. Again, is to, you know, practice that social distancing, practice that hand washing, and all those basic kind of things, and we'll get through this. I see it a lot more difficult to resume. You know, there won't be large public events. We've noticed events, you know, like I think Macomb, Illinois announced this week.
Heritage Days
was going to be canceled.
Yeah.
You know, Ragbri in Iowa has been canceled.
Oh, yeah.
We're seeing a number of events, that involve, you know, large numbers of people in close proximity being canceled, at least for a time period. Like I said, I think Galesburg has responded well and we're in relatively good shape with a relatively few number of positive tests. You know, we have no one as of today, you know, we have no fatalities related to the COVID-19 virus.
Sure.
So we're very fortunate. Most people are still working and we're getting along in this environment, although it's been a real change.
If it were you, would you change anything about how the state has responded to this? I'm thinking, maybe this isn't exactly what I meant, but one of the things I'm thinking of is, for example, state parks will be allowed to open back up gradually as long as social distancing can be maintained. Should that happen on a city level at some point?
Yeah, well, our parks are, well, our, you know, our parks are theoretically open. You can go to a park, but you can't. What we don't want you to do is play on the playground equipment where the virus may be.
But, John, I need to blow off some steam.
Well, you know what? Get yourself a soccer ball and go kick it around the park.
Fair enough.
Or go walk up and down the streets.
Ever seen me try to kick a ball?
Or go get a bag with some sticks in it and go walk around, you know, a golf course or something. I would say that, you know, part of this issue is dealing with Chicago, which is a hotbed, which has, you know, it's a densely packed area, and then there's the rest of the state.
Yeah, that's a difficult kind of thing to balance, I kind of think. I hear a lot of people say, oh, the governor's only doing this because of Chicago. But, you know, that's a difficult thing to try to balance.
Yeah, well, I think you know, you could allow, I mean, the governor could allow, changes to be affected on a county-by-county basis if he chose. I know that.
Do you think that should happen?
Well, I think so. I think perhaps. But again, I'm not suggesting that you throw everything open in counties that have a low thing. I think positive testing. But I think what has to be, I look at Rock Island County and they have 240 positive results. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, compared to our 21 yesterday, that's quite a difference. Mm-hmm. And they have. You know, they probably have to be more cautious than we do. I think what's going on in Carbondale is probably a little different than what's going on in Cook County.
Yeah, that's for sure. I'm out of time, but maybe I'll end this discussion, at least at this point, kind of where we talked about in the beginning. One thing I've said to a couple of people I've talked to on our programs, John, is that when push comes to shove, as many times as we hear from people who might be a little negative about Galesburg, there are always people willing to step up and help better our community, even in situations like this. And I think that's probably one of the real big positives we've seen out of this.
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear. And they didn't do it for fame or fortune. They did it because it was the right thing to do and because they love their community. At some point when we get through this, we'll have an opportunity to recognize all those folks that acted and moved forward, acted as leaders and acted as volunteers.
Absolutely. Let's talk about this for another hour, John. I'm kidding. We're out of time. Galesburg Mayor John Pritchard, thank you so much for coming down the hall and talking to me this morning. I appreciate it. And thanks to everybody in the city that has helped try to help us get through this.
All right. Thank you.
And thanks for joining us today on Galesburg Live. I'm Will Stevenson. I'll see you Monday night at 5 for Galesburg's Evening News, which, by the way, we will talk on that program Monday night about the pandemic health worker program that OSF Healthcare has put together. So join me Monday night at 5. Otherwise, today's homeowner is next after 9 o'clock. Have a great weekend.